Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Veterinary medicine has come such a long way, and I just love talking about like some of the latest and greatest advances. And one of them is really virtual care. And, you know, I know we talked about this before on the show, but we're going to get a little bit more into the weeds of it more specifically. By the way, you got to be subscribing to the Vet Blast podcast before we do anything else. But good friend of mine, I'm sure you've seen this guy around. He's doing his thing. Such a great guy. Dr. Shadi Arefage is joining us. He's the co-founder and chief medical officer of Vet Triage. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you doing? Thank you for doing this.
Oh, of course. My pleasure. I'm glad we're able to finally connect. I know our schedules are always like so crazy and hectic. But okay, well, let's get into this because I know a lot of our listeners have been asking about questions about telemedicine and virtual care. And we kind of use these vocabulary terms interchangeably. So maybe let's just back up a little bit and tell us a little bit, like, what is telemedicine?
Sure. So the proper semantics for this is actually telehealth. Telehealth is the umbrella term used to describe all things virtual. Telehealth then gets divided into different subcategories, of which telemedicine is one category. But other categories are teleadvice, teletriage, teleconsulting, teleprescribing, a whole bunch of teles underneath the umbrella of telehealth. So telemedicine has become sort of the popular word in the media to describe virtual care, but really it's actually one category of telehealth. And so with my company, Vet Triage, we operate in the teletriage / teleadvice world to be able to increase access to care for pet parents.
I want to talk about that really quick too, because access to care is huge right now. Hot, hot, hot. How do we go about doing more access to care? You know, and I always answer this too, Shadi, is the fact that like virtual care is the new normal. If you're not doing it, we're not doing good justice for access to care for our animals. So talk to us a little bit more, like how has your reach and launch been since you've been practicing with virtual care?
It's been actually growing really steadily. It seems that the more we're out there in the world, in the vet world, the more folks reach out to us to figure out what are we doing and how can we partner with Vet Triage to try and increase access to care for our clients. Because veterinarians and veterinary staff members, they want to take care of the pets. Obviously, that's why we're doing this. But there's only so many hours in the day and there's only so many staff members, only so many cages for these pets that need help, but they all need help. And so with virtual care, you can run an operation 24/7 without anybody leaving their homes. So you get rid of the brick and mortar limitations, you get rid of staffing limitations, and you're just there out for the world to have access to.
Yeah, because we're so overridden sometimes with like the appointment schedulers and, you know, you don't want to burn yourself out at the same time. So being able to have that flex scheduling opportunity that you're talking about, I think is really good. So, you know, how does the external telemedicine improve the operations of brick and mortar? Because that's a big question that I get asked here at DVM 360.
If you're operating a facility with a certain mind frame, your goal is you're a 24-hour hospital. So you want to see the emergencies, the true emergencies, let's say, or you're a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday GP, general practitioner, and you want to see the fairly straightforward puppy kitten vaccines and maybe easier conditions to deal with, but not the complex ones. If you can figure out what your lane is and then from there, kind of disperse the cases that are sort of outside of your realm, right away, you're going to decrease the burden on your staff. But those cases that you're now turning away have to go somewhere, right? So if you're a GP and you have critical cases, you want to send them to the emergency room. The emergency room, if they have fairly straightforward cases, they want to send them to the general practitioner. That's where we begin. Virtual care, what that'll allow for is playing traffic controller. They can actually figure out who goes where and when. So if you have a critical patient based on a virtual session, then you can say, okay, this is an actual emergency, and send that pet parent and their pet to the emergency room. Or if they're at the ER waiting to be seen, they call us, not an emergency, great. Here's how we can de-escalate the situation, educate the pet parent, offer some monitoring parameters, call your vet in the morning. They'll fit you in when they can fit you in, maybe the next couple of days, maybe the next couple of weeks. But at least you know it's not an emergency. You don't have to wait 6 hours in the parking lot for the emergency hospital. And that's a very simple way to think about how we can control the traffic from one facility to the other, which will then decrease the burden of the staff at the brick and mortar at those facilities.
and you know, working with the workflow inefficiencies that sometimes come. You think when you're adapting this new modality that it might be a disruption, but it really isn't. It's actually an enhancing the opportunity of what you're talking about. So with that being said, then, you know, Dr. Shadi, where do you think the profession is heading in about 5 to 10 years?
Most of my projections for what's going to happen in the future is fairly pessimistic, because if you look at the trends right now, corporate entities are buying up hospitals by the handful. Week after week, they're buying facilities, but yet they can't seem to solve the staffing problem, the shortage that we're seeing. They can't seem to increase access to care, despite them having deep pockets and a lot of influence. And then with that, you have the highest number of graduates from vet school in our profession. We have the largest number of vet schools in general in our profession, and yet we can't seem to find veterinarians to fill the brick and mortar. I predict if we don't solve this problem in the next decade, we may not have a profession left. It's going to implode. You're going to have corporate entities buying up all the facilities, but no staff. And all the staff that are coming out of school, the second they enter a toxic culture, they're gone. They're out. They don't have to do this. They can do something else. These are smart people who work hard. They can choose any other career path. So that's how I see it if we don't act. Although virtual care is not necessarily the silver bullet here, I think it's a huge piece of the puzzle to make everybody's lives easier in the brick and mortar facility, increase access to care, and do it in a responsible way.
Yeah. Well said. You know, I think it's, if you're not on the virtual care wagon by now, you really should start to. I think that COVID really helped kind of ignite a little match under our profession to really move forward with technology, whether it be artificial intelligence, telecytology, teletriage, everything you're talking about. So I think it's good too. And then, you know, I'm really big on educating high school kids and the children about how awesome this profession is. So what is your advice for individuals planning in high school and college who are thinking about a career in vet med?
Get as much hands-on experience in a clinic or a hospital or a rescue that you can. And not just from a medical standpoint, not just seeing a bunch of cool cases with a bunch of cool animals. Watch the veterinarians, the vet technicians, the receptionists, the kennel staff, how they talk to clients, how they communicate. Because as much as we love animals and as much as we are in this profession for the animals, let's face it, it's a people profession. Yeah. You ain't getting nowhere with that pet's care without making sure that pet parent is on board, right? There's no way. And so I think we underestimate and undereducate our young people who are interested in becoming pre-vet and the importance of the person in this whole human-animal bond. So get as much experience in the brick and mortar facilities as you can to kind of see how the ambiance is. What is the workflow like? What's that veterinarian doing? Why are the technicians stressed out today? What's the world of the receptionist look like? Figure all that out. See if that's for you, because it's a multifaceted career. It's a wonderful career, but you have to recognize all of that. It's not just taking care of cute animals all day.
No, it's not. It's multifaceted. Good. Because, you know, great veterinarians come from being great veterinary technicians and CSRs. You know, you get to really understand each other's roles and responsibilities. And even in my practice, we call them techceptionists, so that everybody kind of understood each other's roles. And I can pull somebody from a reception area to hold a dog, or somebody can invoice a client out. I think it's such a team-based approach in this. Out of all the professions on the planet, I think it's one of the biggest ones that involves such teamwork. So
whether you like it or not, as a doctor, you're automatically in a leadership position. You're right. Based up there with the hospital owner, the hospital manager, the practice manager. You're a leader. You may not have that title, but you're a leader. And the only way a leader can actually truly cultivate a camaraderie is to understand what each person's role in that hospital is and what their struggles are on a daily basis. So if you've worked as a technician, as a receptionist, as a kennel person, and then you become a doctor, you have a firm understanding of what their challenges are on a daily basis. And so then when you establish protocols in your facility, or you see somebody who's been there for a long time having a bad day, somebody's really upset, you can sympathize with them, empathize, understand their world, as opposed to making the staff feel as though you're distant, like you have no real connection what they're doing. Why can't you just do your job right? And what's wrong? Just be happy at work. Well, you've never lived in their shoes.
Right.
Rotate in the hospital as you're going up the ranks to become a veterinarian. Understand what everybody's roles are and what their challenges are. It's massive. It's massive. It is. And that's how you gain respect, by the way. That's how people will want to follow you.
Absolutely. Because how you interact with others is how your team will decide to bring their own pets to you, you know? And so they'll make those choices. I'll never forget when I graduated from vet school, the part of the mentorship program that I had, I spent 1 week, which is actually a long time, as a CSR, as a new grad, CSR answering phones, 1 week as a vet tech, 1 week as a kennel assistant. And then I started getting into the veterinary. I thought that was really cool because they're seeing you in the trenches and understanding what they're going through. But I challenge our colleagues to do that with our new graduates too, because I think it's good for everyone to understand each other's roles and responsibilities. And with that too, Dr. Shadi, what are some of your piece of advice that you would have for the recent new graduate class of 2022?
You know, if you don't mind, actually, I want to actually extend on what you just said prior. Even on vet triage, I've played the role of marketing, veterinarian, answering the phone, taking payments over the phone, figuring out the website. I've played those roles on purpose. That way, when we start hiring and now we have support staff, I understand what their challenges are going to be like because I live them myself. So virtual care is no different when it comes to this, to what we're talking about with the culture. So for new graduates, so my advice, I'm a big fan, first of all, of internships. I think the rotating general internship is priceless. You truly do get you truly get 5 years of experience in 1 year of time. You really do. Secondly, and related to that, is see as many cases as you can. See every, I don't care if you're trying to specialize in surgery or dermatology, or you want to be a general practitioner, see all the cases, all of them. You want a wide breadth. You want to experience everything. The way to become a veterinarian with almost a sixth sense in this profession is to have seen the same case over and over and over. It's pattern recognition, right? So get out there and see as many cases as you can. Be hungry for those cases. That's where you can take your book knowledge from school and really implement them to expand your knowledge base. And then finally, after my third advice, when you're looking for that first job, go seek out plenty of options. Talk to the doctors, obviously they're interviewing you or whatever, but get involved with that support staff. Get involved with them. Find out what they think about the culture there. How long have they been there? What's the turnover rate like in their eyes? Are they happy there? The technicians, the receptionists, the assistants, the kennel people, the CSR, talk to them. They'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly before you dedicate yourself to a contract for your first job out of school.
Nice. And finally, tell us a little bit about Vet Triage. What is it?
So Vet Triage is a 24/7 video platform. It's web browser based. We have veterinarians only performing teletriage. The goal here is to answer two questions for the pet parents. Do you have a medical emergency? And if you do, do you know where you're going? Do we need to find you the ER? We have to call your on-call veterinarian in. What do we need to do to get you the emergency care you need? Or secondly, you don't have an emergency. How can we proceed from here? De-escalate, educate, provide monitoring parameters. Calm the pet parent down, let them know this is not an emergency, educate on what you think the condition may be or conditions, possibilities are. Here's what you monitor for at home. Maybe there's some over-the-counter things you can do for your pet, and then call your vet to fit in as an appointment in the next couple of days, weeks, or what have you. And that's the entire premise. We're up to 27 or 28 different animal types. We've been utilized by folks from 13, 14 different countries, and our veterinarians come in board certified vets, experienced emergency doctors, experienced general practitioners. I interview all of them myself and I hire them myself. That way I know what I'm looking for. Yeah. And it's video only. It's our own proprietary technology, 24/7, any species, global.
That's incredible. Fantastic job for doing that too, by the way.
Thank you.
But wait, you can't leave without telling the listeners about your YouTube channel.
Oh, you're so sweet. I love you, man. So I have a YouTube channel, Dr. Shadi Arefich, and the goal with the YouTube channel originally was just to, I don't know, just to dabble, I guess. Now it's turned into a really nice source of information, mostly for pet parents, although there are some videos there for the new and experienced veterinarians as well. I actually share a lot of those videos with vet triage sessions. So if I'm seeing a dog on video that may have a flare up of allergies or a cat with some vomiting, I'll send them my YouTube video explaining cat vomiting or dog allergies. And that way they can look at something at home, which normally should be an hour consult in the brick and mortar. Yeah. I can say non-emergency. I think it may be this or this. Here's a video to help educate you. watch with the family so you guys can learn about it. Email me back with any questions that you have from the video. And that way they're like, yes, great, perfect. So lots of educational videos on there, lots of fun videos, most of which are obviously veterinary related. So feel free to please subscribe. Vet Triage also has a YouTube channel as well. And we're working on more content with that channel as well. It's still growing.
Excellent. And another thing to listeners, I want everyone to know about Dr. Shadi is like him and I have a real fond passion for working out. And I mean, all kidding aside, it's really important to you and I. I know you as a surgeon, I talked about this too when I saw you. I mean, to the listeners, this guy is ripped, you know, but like his back is super strong. And I was telling you this before that I've worked out so I can work because it's such a physical job. It really is. And, you know, just share with the listeners a little bit that about what working out means to you, not just like we know about physical, emotional, but seriously, with what you do as a surgeon, it's got to help you out, right?
It's everything to me because it's not just physical health, right? It's mental or spiritual health too.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the most common questions I get from new graduates or third year students from vet school is how do I maintain a healthy lifestyle, that work-life balance, right? We all struggle with that. Veterinarians by nature are kind of not workaholics, but we are really dedicated to our craft. And so I tell them, figure out what your outlet is going to be and do not compromise. Don't start skipping the gym or skipping yoga or CrossFit or whatever. Stick with it. Make that something that you need to do. Make it a religious thing. Go to it every single day or whatever it is that you need to do to maintain your own physical and mental health. Working out for me is a release. I mean, it's my TV time. I just bought a TV 3 months ago. I haven't owned a TV in 20 years. I just bought my first one and I still barely use it.
Oh, you're missing out on so much.
I have no doubt there's some great stuff out there, but the gym is my TV time. That's what I call it. It's my hour and a half ish of time where I wish I could say I'm unplugged, but it's where I can release and just focus on me and get out any stressors I have. And at the same time, bonus, you tend to feel good and look good. Why not?
Right. Why not? Absolutely. Dr. Shadi Arafage from Vet Triage, Chief Medical Officer and co-founder. Thank you for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you, my man. Always, always, always a pleasure. So much fun with you.
Always. And thank you for all you do for the profession, too. You really do move mountains, and it's not easy. And it's individuals like you that really help move the needle in the way the profession needs to be. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you. That's much appreciated. It's a lot of hard work. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And to our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in. Always stay safe out there. Continue to do great work, just like Dr. Shadi is doing. And we will see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.